Welcome to Money Chats and Mishaps, a podcast by FamBrokers hosted by Renee Long, the director and founder of FamBrokers.
Thank you very much for coming into Money Chats and Mishaps. So Dan, we'll get straight into it today. So tell me about your business so everybody out there can know who you are and what you do. So today we're just going to have a bit of a fun chat about everything in the property market, first home buyers changes, share a couple of stories and just have a general chat.
Okay.
No stress.
Good. Stress.
No. Yeah, no stress.
Who's stressed? Yeah. Who's those Xanax?
Yeah.
Don't do that at home. My business. I'm a buyer's agent and I started the brand Urban Buyer probably about 5 years ago now.
Yeah.
I've been in property, involved in property for over 20 years.
Yeah.
Probably longer than that, but then I'll have to lie about my age.
Did you get in it when you were 21?
Yeah, exactly. And I originally kicked off the brand in Townsville of all places.
Oh wow, okay. And, are you from Townsville?
No, I'm from Sydney.
Oh, okay. So, but whereabouts? I used to live at Kellyville, Castle Hill.
Stop it.
Yeah.
I built a house in Kellyville.
Did you?
I did. And I went to school in Castle Hill.
Oh, wow. So I grew up. So I started school at Hornsby.
Yep.
And then went to Castle. There you go.
Hey. Nearly related. And then,
I know. Well, there's a lot of people in Sydney. I even worked on the North Shore and, yeah, moved up and down. Yeah. So I've lived in Sydney a couple of times and lived in Queensland a couple of times.
Fantastic. Yeah. So I ended up, I lived in Townsville. I moved from Sydney to Townsville. Didn't even know where Townsville was. At that point in time, I was running a commercial building company in Sydney and a property development company.
Okay.
So we bought some pretty major projects up there, or sites.
Nice.
So that's how I ended up there. But that's a whole nother story. But anyway, so yes, I brought it down. I established on the Gold Coast and Brisbane in about 2000. Oh no, where was it? Probably 21-ish?
Yeah.
22? Yeah, 22 it would have been.
So what made you go into buyer's agent from being in property? Well, sort of the next step across.
Yeah, well, I'd done all other aspects of property. So from, understanding the build process and being able to build a thing, even prior to that, site acquisitions as a developer, getting development approvals.
Council approvals and things like that at the moment are just horrendous. It doesn't matter what council in Australia you talk to somebody in.
You know, I mean, we could do a whole podcast on that.
We really could.
I've got a development site. One of our development sites is pre-DA now.
Yeah.
And the hoops they're making us jump through is ridiculous.
And the length of time.
Yeah.
Like it was 3 to 6 months, now it's 6 to 12.
It's just crazy. And the ironic thing is that, there's this need for affordable housing and the government's like, what can we do? It's like, well, have a look in your own backyard.
Yeah.
Like, have a look at local
federal,
government.
State and local.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like the left hand talking to the right hand talking to the left foot, right? And they're all speaking different languages.
Mm.
But there really needs to be
something.
Because it's just ridiculous. And you know, a lot of the time we're talking about individuals that have a subjective view.
Yeah.
You know, it depends what time they got out of bed or how they got out of bed and, whether or not they want to approve
regulations and things that have changed.
Yeah.
And every time something you get comfortable with, something else has changed. So then you've got to do something else. Same as the disclaimers, the disclosures statements with the contract at the moment. I mean, everything changes. Once you get used to something, it gets changed. We're first home buyers. I mean, it was like ding, 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 ding. Everybody come to lunch.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's been crazy.
Didn't we notice it? But I'll just wrap up getting to how I ended up being a buyer's agent. So from the development side of things, GFC happened, taught me a valuable lesson. My business partner moved back to Sydney. I decided to stay in Townsville and kick pebbles for a little while by myself and feel sorry for myself.
Yeah.
Tried to set up another building company. Didn't work out with my partner, who was my architect at the time, and then got into, I consulted to a private equity fund based out of Melbourne as a development manager. So I looked after sites from Townsville, Whitsundays down to Sydney. So they essentially were, second tier lenders. So they'd come in a second mortgage, they'd buy out the principal debt and then try and recoup their funds. So they'd send me in and say, Daniel, get us our money back.
So fair enough.
So I'd go in there and either complete the project or, you know, with the big one we did in Sydney, I redesigned it, got extra densities out of it, rezoned it.
Okay, that's good.
And I actually did myself out of a job because I was meant to project manage the completion of the development. But they said, well, you've just handed us something that's valuable and we can sell it now. So, anyway, look, it was the right thing by the client. So,
yeah. Well, that's true.
Yeah. And then had a property aggregation business after that. So similar activity to buyer's agency, but dealing in brand new stuff. So I had relationships with builders and developers around the country. And my clients were, in fact, you know, property investment advisors, accountants, financial planners, and their clients that wanted to buy investment property that sort of come to us.
Okay.
Or the professional would come to us and say, hey, I've got a client, they've got, but you know, back then you could buy a townhouse in Brisbane for like $650,000. And they say, that's their budget. Have you got?
Yeah.
I'd go into, go into our network, find three properties that suit, go, here you go. They do all the numbers and go, yeah, we want that one. So,
and a lot of that stuff's off market. So, like, as a mortgage broker, you deal with marketers, buyer's agents, developers, real estate agents, commercial, acquisition company, all different types, equity funds, all different types. And they'll say, we've got this, this and this, and these are the clients. And the off-market stuff can be great.
Yeah, absolutely. And it can be. And look, it's still around. I find in hot markets, it tends to tighten up a little bit. Twofold. One, the sellers know they're going to get more if they get on the market, and the agents know they're going to get more generally if they go to market. So, So anyway, I'm going to finish my story because I'm sure people want to know why I became a buyer's agent.
That is why.
Stop bloody interrupting me, right?
Mate, it's so rude. It's hard to get good guests.
So
right?
I actually had a bit of a break from property altogether. I just needed a break. Actually worked for a digital marketing company for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I thought these guys are going to teach me, because I'd never done direct sales and I felt that might be one of my weak sort of spots. Anyway, these guys were great. They trained me up and I'd basically go out and meet with businesses, just do an assessment of what they got and then put together a bit of a strategy, like from websites to, you know, social media, paid ads, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then I kind of thought to myself, you know what, my calling was to be in development. And I thought, I need my day-to-day activity to be in property. I can't be meeting with a plumber or steel fabricator selling in websites and stuff and then be a developer. It just wasn't going to work. So I've been watching the buyer's agency space for a long time because they're around, particularly eastern suburbs of Sydney and some of the more exclusive.
For a while, they have. The last 4-5 years, they've come to fruition, and now what's popping up is your buyer's advocates.
Yeah.
So you've got your real estate, and I've got three clients with all three. They've got a real estate agent that they work with, they've got a buyer's agent and a buyer's advocate.
Right.
And it's like, why would you have all three? But some people do. Very few do, but some people have got all three. I've got three at the moment.
Okay.
I'm like, so what's one going to do that the other one's not going to do? Because there's a lot of crossover.
There's plenty of crossover. I mean, I see us doing the same activity as an advocate. There's no real major distinction.
That's what I thought.
So generally the term advocate is used in like Melbourne and South Australia. So if I'm talking to people down there, I'm saying buyer's advocate.
Yeah.
And then buyer's agents, sort of New South Wales, Queensland and so forth. But, I don't believe, well, not that I'm aware that there's a major distinction.
The only distinction I've found is with one of the people, the lady who's the buyer's advocate does a lot more of the contractual stuff because she used to be a commercial solicitor, but she's retired.
Right.
So that's her differentiation, where she can understand a lot more and talk through some of the risks, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I don't really see a difference. I thought they were the same thing.
As far as I'm concerned, they're the same thing. And the buyer's agent should understand the contracts. Hmm. I mean, I'm fortunate enough because...
You've got the experience.
Well, I was actually a lawyer at one stage too. I missed that bit out.
Oh, there you go.
I transitioned from the building company to having the development company.
Yeah.
I finished my building degree and then I had a year off and I just got a bit itchy. I felt like studying again. And I was chatting to my mentor And I said, you know what? I'm thinking about maybe going back doing engineering, because prior to building, I did sort of 2 years of a physics degree. So I'd done all the maths and physics for engineering.
Yeah.
And he's like, why would you do it? He said, you're not going to certify any of your own jobs. I'm like, yeah, fair call. And he goes, if I were you, I'd do law. He said, look, how many of our jobs, because I worked for a commercial builder, he said, look, how many of our projects end up in litigation and we're struggling to explain to the lawyers simple building terms. Like they can't get their head around the situation because they don't understand building. And he said, imagine as a builder, you could talk to a lawyer as a builder and they got it. So I went, you know what? Cool. So I enrolled, started doing my law degree, and then the property development company took off and I'm like, what am I going to do here? And I thought, I'll finish it. So if the world turns to shit.
Yeah, you've got something
I can fall back on. And the world did turn to shit, but I never fell back on it. I did do my articles. I got admitted into the Supreme Court of New South Wales as a lawyer. Okay. So I'm on the roll there. I did work as an adjudicator in under the Queensland Payments Act. So under PSIPA. Building Construction Industry Payments Act. And, I sort of got a bit bored with that.
You've just done everything.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't going to bring it up.
I'll just take tickets
off. What the hell
is
this guy? He's full of shit. I can definitely dismantle a building report. In fact, I was speaking to a building inspector on the way here.
So you've just turned on half of the audience. All right.
Yeah, right. I've got a tool belt too.
So. It's not that sort of show.
Ah, okay.
It's all good. That's crazy.
Generally cover everything. So I've been known to tell the building inspectors that they're wrong and also been known to tell the lawyers that they're wrong. So, but anyway.
We've got to be right sometimes, right?
Exactly.
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 So, as we talked about before, briefly, property market is crazy at the moment.
Yeah.
And like there's unprecedented sales, growth, expected more growth. They've got all these, everybody is saying this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Anything from a rate reduction. Once October 1st happened, everybody in the finance industry felt a ripple probably from the 1st of September. But 2 weeks before, people got crazy.
Yeah.
And you're getting all these for pre-approvals and things like that. What have you found that's different from 12, 18 months ago to now? And do you think the first homeowner scheme, the first homeowner's grants, all the changes in what's being provided by the government has made a difference?
It's certainly made a difference to the activity, as you've already stated. And I feel that there's a bit more of urgency now as opposed to 12, 18 months ago. I mean, there's always been that, but it's almost
there's a lot more urgency, though.
There's a lot more urgency. Yeah. Sorry.
I speak Dan. It's all good.
It's crazy. Like you said, in the last 2 weeks, so I went to an open and I'm finding sub $1 million. Insane.
Yes.
So I went to an open and it wasn't for a first home buyer, it was for an investor and it was sub a mil. And there were 60 groups through. And we're talking Logan City Council area, 60 groups.
Mm-hmm.
And the offers that they're getting in is ridiculous. Like, they're just ridiculous. Like, people say to me, I can't afford a buyer's agent. And then I see the same people making offers. This is a true story. There was one that was submit all offers. Now, I valued the property and I've got my own ways of valuing it. Mm-hmm. So not just through comparative sales. Like, there's other ways that other methods that I use. And I was really generous because I knew if we have to put in a strong offer if we want to have crack at this.
Yeah.
I arrived at $915,000. Anyway, we missed out on it. And I did say to my client, look, it's not unusual. You get an emotional buyer and they might pay $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 more. Mm. Anyway, the agent rang me and obviously, the conversation I have with agents is very different to what mums and dads and
that's your job.
Absolutely. But you can, as soon as I say I'm a buyer's agent, tone changes and it becomes almost like
it's a transaction.
Yeah, it's a commercial discussion and quite often they drop their guard, drop the facade and you're speaking like normal people, right? And this particular agent, which I had a good relationship with, and she goes, Daniel, you wouldn't believe what it went for. I went, what? She said it went for $1,021,000. I said, you're saying it went for $106,000 above what we offered. And she went, yeah. She said, all other offers were around yours. I said, you're kidding. Mm. She goes, I know. We couldn't believe it. So,
but I'm getting that every week where people are going in and they're so frantic to buy something. With a buyer's agent, you've got some, you're a subject matter expert. You've been in the industry. You know what you're overpaying. I'm seeing people overpay for properties, but they don't care because there's that frenetic power surge. It's like a shark feeding frenzy. But that's only probably 5%. The other 95% are trying to get into the market and not go to where the 5%ers or
exactly.
the 1%ers are.
Exactly. But what you're finding too is that they're in the market that long that they're just frustrated. They see that, you know, they're trailing the market
they think,
and they're
I'm
like,
never going to get anything. I'm never going
to
get anything.
And then a lot of them just go, stuff it. I'm going to pay
I'm gonna
overs.
Go for it. Yeah.
And, you know, what's that do to affordability?
Because I found the last 6 months where those unusual properties that had something weird like an outside staircase or, you know, a turret at the back or something that's unusual, pointed kitchens in a triangle shape or, you know, those things that have unique in their frame, right?
Yep.
So a lot of those have been going down and they're staying on the market longer. But all the new ones and the... And I had a client once who would go to deceased estates garage sales and offer a coffee and then go down the road and he'd bring back like Zarafas or someone, give everybody coffee and say, look, it's really hard. I lost my mum a couple of years ago. He got six properties for like hundreds of thousands under. I mean, it was a great strategy and I hope he was very, very nice.
How does his mum feel about it?
Well, his mum was dead.
Oh, she actually was.
She actually was
dead. I just thought it was a story.
No.
Oh, okay, cool.
But that's what he used, his story.
Right.
I had a staff member once who told me three times his mother died over 2 years and he needed the weekend off to go fly back to New Zealand. I said, she died last year. I said, shit, she came back. And he goes,
it wasn't
what?
Easter, was it?
Well, no.
Okay.
It wasn't Easter, but I like the pun. But like all of these, I mean, these are real stories. This guy got six properties, made a mozza, but because he wanted to get into the market. And he had a couple of kids, and his thing was, every child of mine is going to have a house. And, you know, dad's alone, he's going to have a property. So he got that and more. But he used to go to deceased estates. And I'm not saying go to deceased estates and do this, but that was his strategy because he couldn't find places and but the unusual ones at the moment aren't, they're still selling, but they're selling for premium prices.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the good ones are just, and breakups. I've got five divorcees working on, and some of them I've got both sides. So it's like, I feel like I'm mum and dad because they're saying, oh, you're not helping such and such before me, are you? No, no, they're all good. Yes, they're all good, but we've got to do X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
But then they're trying to go find houses and they can't find a house. So I'm like, do you have a buyer's agent? Have you gone to someone? Here's some details, rah, rah, rah. Sometimes I'll do an intro to say, you will need to contact this person.
Yeah.
Because I think it's really important that people get help because I'm seeing a lot of people overpaying for a property.
Yeah.
And they are at that frustrated mark. If you are frustrated, and I can't emphasize it enough, if you're at that point where I'm going to accept anything, just remember, if it was realestate.tinder, you would be swiping, I don't know, right or left or whatever the one for the yes is, okay?
Come on, don't pretend.
No,
I'm kidding.
Right or left?
I don't know.
Anyway, it's whichever way you're supposed to swipe, right? But it's just insane because there's so much fever pitch. It is the shark analogy.
Yeah.
It's like a feeding frenzy in the water. And people are going to auction and paying out. I do an I Hate Wednesdays. So my Wednesdays are filled with people that phone me up and go, the contract's coming in. And I said, what do you mean? So they don't have a pre-approval. They haven't even come to me for borrowing capacity. I don't mind if somebody doesn't have a pre-approval. I can get you the loan 99.9% of the time. And depending on your situation, there's always a solution, usually.
Yeah.
Right? Usually a solution. But they go and overpay at an auction because they're in a frenzy. And they become self-employed the next day, you know, the week before. So their whole situation's changed.
Yeah.
Or they just had twins or something and something and something. I hate Wednesdays. Wednesdays, I will have 3 to 4 auctions come in every week without fail. Here's the contract. Go grab me the loan.
Yeah, wow. Yay. Like, you're good.
And they transferred, mate. I'm not God.
Yeah, I was going to say miracles cost extra.
Yeah, oh, yeah exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You know, oh, I'm Catholic, but, you know, please help me with this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it is just, it's just crazy because you say to them, what do you mean? You've signed an unconditional contract. Oh, and I've transferred the $150,000. I went to the Commonwealth Bank Monday, did a telegraphic transfer into the trust. I'm like, you did what? And that's all our money, or $200,000 or $250,000. That's all our money. Let's get this loan. You got me the loan 5 years ago. Yep, that's fantastic. Anything changed? Oh, we've had three kids. We've got all this other debt. We've just sold the house. Okay, did you pay anything off? Oh, yeah, we paid this off but kept this. We've still got this, this, and this, but can you get me? And you're like, things have changed.
Yeah.
Talk to someone first. Absolutely. Talk to your buyer's agent, your broker. You know, what would you suggest to those people?
Yeah, definitely speak to the professionals and the people that know. And, I mean, they're going to stop you making stupid mistakes. Like, the way we save people money is, first and foremost, stopping them from doing things like that. That's going to cost some money. So the so avoid the pitfalls. And often we will actually pick something up below market value. I mean, obviously, obviously,
can you get things off market?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously, if there's a multiple sort of buyer situation, then, you know, we've got to go in strong, but we will prevent the buyer from overpaying for it.
Yeah.
Some and insist on going
like
above.
100, but, and what was it before? 112,000?
100, yeah, 106,000. Just on that one.
106,000. That's a lot of money, guys. That is your 5% deposit.
Absolutely. And I often ask prospective clients as well. It's like, if you own a house and you're to sell the house, are you going to do it on your own or are you going to get a sales agent? And they go, oh, no, we'll get an agent. Right. So why wouldn't you get one when you buy a place?
Exactly. And people are buying their house and thinks that they can just move in. So I would have 15 people that check in monthly.
Yeah.
Because 12 months ago when it started to go up, they sold their property. They then took 6 months off work and travelled. They've come back. They're in not the Ritz or living in a caravan park in where they usually wouldn't live. Yeah. They've got some money in the bank, but now they can't afford to buy the house they want and they didn't have a setup plan. So those people are ideal to send to you as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you know their urgency, you know what they can spend, and you can get them into a property rather than them staying where they don't want to stay. Because now they're at a point where it's critical to say, oh my gosh, and there's a lot of people in that position as well, but they don't see buyer's agents.
No.
Like, once upon a time, so 2006, so 20 years ago, there was 1,100 brokers in Australia. Now there's 46,000 brokers in Australia.
Wow.
And we are all so busy. No broker competes, no buyer's agent competes, no real estate competes because they've all got different properties, they've got different businesses, they've got different people, they work with different circles, they provide you a service which you've got to be comfortable with.
Absolutely.
So you wouldn't go to buy a car at your butcher, but you would go there if you're having really nice people over for dinner and you want to impress them with the side of beef.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
You don't go to the candlestick maker for your phone.
No.
You know, no. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you use a buyer's agent?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, I mean, because buyer's agents are fairly new to the space.
Yeah. People aren't used to
it. People aren't used to it and people just see it as an added expense. It's like, why would I pay this person?
76% of home loans in Australia are through a mortgage broker.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it used to be 1-5%.
That's right. And it took a while
so took a while.
Yeah.
It took 20 years. Everybody has to use your subject matter experts, your buyer's agents. They're your advocate. They're the people that are going to put you through. So, and I'll often get a better deal for somebody who's gone to a buyer's agent and the client will. And usually they'll come in valued.
Yeah.
If you need a valuation or you need LMI and that sort of thing, buying over market will cost you money.
Yeah.
Because what people don't understand is, it's based on the valuation of the property. And if the property doesn't value in a contract price, usually they do at this point in time.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of times when they don't.
Absolutely.
And then they've got to find the money.
Absolutely. And there's also, I mean, aside from the hard costs, there's an opportunity cost as well.
Yeah.
So
yes, opportunity costs. I love that.
Right. So I mean, who's if someone, and they should be employed if they're buying a property.
Yeah.
So they're at work all day, right? Yeah. Like, who's got time to be really looking at all, like, at every opportunity? And then, you know, some people have to down tools to then go and do an inspection or whatever.
60,000 people in Australia a minute, I was told the other day. Check out realestate.com.
Wow.
That's Isn't that a good crazy. Business? Isn't that a wonderful business?
Wow.
Wouldn't you like to advertise on there?
Exactly. Exactly. So
tell me a funny story. So, but it ended up good, or a story that somebody can learn from.
Oh, I was going to say, you won't learn from this.
Well, they might. Oh,
funny
might
story.
Be really bad.
Jeez.
So I've had clients that have gone in a frenzy and turned up at a block of land up in a good area where a con man has set up a demountable.
Yep.
And he was getting $50,000 transferred into his account, and he didn't own the property. And he had 2 hours, champagne, canapes, put people on, got 50 couples there, were taking money. And the clients phoned me and said, we finally got land, yada, yada. Because I got clients all over Australia and overseas. And I said to them, what do you mean? I said, oh, I don't know about any development there. I said, that must be new, because I pretty much know most of the developments, even across Australia, and you'll Google it and do your research and stuff. You'll look at, you know, what the DAs and things like that. They said, oh, such and such. And I said, I've never heard of him. I said, do not give him any money. I said, why not? I said, do not give him any money. They phoned him on the Monday, and I contacted a solicitor friend of mine, and I went, these guys were going to do this. I said, it sounds dodgy to me. She said, there's no... She did searches for the property. Because I said to her, can you do a search? She did a search on the property that they were supposedly going to buy. They phoned the guy Monday and said, it's not in your name. He said, click, and never answered their call. Blocked them.
Wow.
But he had... So, obviously, the police got involved, but they willfully gave him the money. They transferred it.
Wow.
There was no duress. There was no... he'll get in trouble because it's con man and he stole money.
Yeah.
But he was getting $50,000 per person to hold a block of land that didn't exist.
Jeez.
So very rarely does that happen.
Yeah.
But when it does...
But it can happen, right?
Exactly. A buyer's agent, you don't have that issue with.
No. Actually, I've got a story, and it would probably suit people that are building.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they bought a block of land and they're building. So this was quite a while ago. So what had happened was, the builder actually built the house on the neighbor's block.
No.
Yes.
How?
No idea. So obviously, I mean, lots are generally pegged out and everything else. It's a new estate, and no one picked it up.
Like, yeah, because you've got to have building inspections and things like that, so no one picked it up.
No.
You
would think that the people that, like the owners, would have thought, oh, hang on, isn't that our block? But somehow they didn't. They were just a bit green.
Wow.
And,
so how did they find that out? And at what stage?
Yeah, it was pretty much at completion. I think they went to get occupation certificate and stuff, and then they had a look at the titles and whatever else, and it was on the wrong block.
Wow.
So
I had a bank lender tell me that people had brought the crane in to demolish this house, but it went to the wrong house.
Oh, no.
They were wrecking balling it. And I was like, you've got to stop. It's the house next door. And they didn't have formal approval yet.
Oh,
they had to put the
thing
in. And they said, yeah, you can remove things off it as long as you're going to go ahead. They said, yeah. But yeah, the guys that they went to like 56 instead of 58. And they were knocking down the wrong house.
Things happen, hey?
Yeah, exactly.
Like they do.
So it's better to be prepared than not. And things like that probably wouldn't happen with you.
No.
Because you would take them out. This is your block.
Yeah, absolutely.
How come the slab's there and not here?
Yeah, well, we put it over here, guys.
So what happened to the house?
Yeah, look, I don't know what the final outcome was, and I don't know who was liable. So...
Yeah.
I wasn't that connected to it, so I'd heard that story sort of secondhand.
Heavily discounted house and land package.
Yeah, exactly. So the neighbours were either really happy.
Yeah, exactly.
Or really disappointed, but I dare say that someone would have had to have copped the brunt for that and the cost. So,
wow, so that's
I'd
insane.
Say there'd be a few people that would be lined up for that one, not just one.
Wow. So if you could give somebody three tips, what would it be?
Three tips for buying a house or property?
For buying a house or using a buyer's agent.
Yep. Okay. First and foremost, like brokers, no two buyer's agents are the same.
Yeah.
And time again, I get prospective clients. They're just so fixated on our fee. So fixated. Mm. And it's like, I know for a fact, there's an online buyer's agency course. And I know in that, they say, look, if you've got no experience, charge maybe $8,000 or something like mm. that. But you need to tell your client that you have very little experience.
Yeah.
So, you know, we come in with our fee and they're like, oh, but, you know, Joe Bloggs is doing it for $8,000. And I'm saying, well, you're welcome to go use him, but what's it going to cost you in the end?
Yeah.
And what's their experience? So tip number one, find out what their experience is.
Yeah.
And have they got properties themselves? Are they doing it?
Do they know? Experience is huge. It doesn't matter if you use somebody with 10 years, 20 years, but if you use somebody with one, they might be a gun, but what if they're not?
Absolutely.
Or, you know, if you use somebody out of industry, why would I use somebody out of industry? I wouldn't.
Yeah, exactly.
I want somebody who's experienced, somebody who's done it, somebody who knows, and somebody that's got my best interest at heart. And it's that rapport building and that sort of thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I had a conversation with the buyer's agent. Actually, it was with a broker who had this buyer's agent that she referred some stuff to, and I actually met her, and she came as a bank teller to be a buyer's agent. She knew nothing about property, hey?
Mm.
And it's like...
So how do people contact you? So we're going to have to wrap it up.
Yeah, yeah, okay, cool.
How do people contact you?
So either through our website. So,
yep. So what's that?
Urbanbuyer.com.au.
Urbanbuyer.com.au.
Yeah, yep. And we've got a phone number as well, which is... what is it? 1300. I did it so you could spell it as well. So it's you buyer.
Oh, okay.
So that'll work.
1300 you buyer.
Which I think is 828937.
So it's like Ubery.
Yeah. whatever.
Clearly he didn't like my joke.
No, I'm kidding. But yeah, and we also, so we've launched in Sydney now. And
oh, congrats. And you're looking at Melbourne.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for my license to come through. I've got three buyer's agents ready to roll.
Nice.
I have done a transaction in Melbourne, but for a Sydney-based client,
Melbourne's
actually
pretty crazy at the moment. My Melbourne clients are peaking.
It's, it's pre, pre-hotspot. So early adopter stage, and I think for investment, it's a good place to look at. Particularly if your risk profile's not too conservative. But it's only, look, it hasn't moved for so long. So, but you just got to know where you're looking, really, and what you're looking for.
And that's what the buyer's agent does.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for coming.
No worries, my pleasure.
And remember, your company.
Oh, Urban Buyer. Sorry, forgot. Wasn't sure where you're going with that.
That's right. We can edit things. And if not, people just laugh at us. So it's all good.
Yeah.
So if you can't learn anything and you don't have a laugh with this, I don't know why I'd be doing it.
Absolutely. Got to have a laugh.
People learn by, oh, wow, I didn't even know that was a thing. You will have made at least 10 people check their lots after that.
Yeah, cool.
Lots of land.
Cool.
So thank you so much.
No worries. Thank you.